It's a big moment to launch new stocks into the ocean of capital markets. I'm David Brancaccio in New York. First, after weeks of negotiation, the Senate has voted to begin debate on a bipartisan infrastructure bill that would provide hundreds of billions of dollars to fix loads of things, roads, internet, water lines. Marketplace's Nova Safo has followed the to-ing and fro-ing on this. Nova, last month, the White House revealed a framework for this. Any surprises here?
Well, there are definitely some changes. The top line amount in new spending on infrastructure is a little less than what they'd initially agreed to, $550 billion. That's down from $580 billion. Senators whittled down funding in some categories like public transit. But overall, the investments are actually pretty close to what they'd agreed to a month ago, David. I talked about the bill that's emerged with Adi Tomer. He focuses on infrastructure policy at the Brookings Institution.
This is a generational investment. We're now on track to invest in the same range as we did during the height of the New Deal. So for many of us who were not alive during that period, this really is going to be, over the next 5+ years, the biggest investment in our physical systems we've ever seen.
And changes in how we pay for this, right?
That's right. They got rid of the idea of boosting the IRS to go after tax dodgers that was jettisoned over Republican objections. Now lawmakers are instead tapping into a lot more unused COVID relief money than they had originally indicated. And Adi Tomer brought up an important point, David, that if and when a bill actually gets passed, that would still just be the beginning of this process.
The federal government does not own the majority of our infrastructure assets. It really falls to states and local governments, as well as private sector partners, to actually design, execute in terms of workforce development and capital flows, and actually construct these projects.
So down the line, local and state governments are going to have a lot of decisions to make, David, about how and where to spend this infrastructure money.
Nova Safo. There's news that economic growth in the April to June quarter was brisk, but still a lot weaker than expected. Growth was running at a 6.5% annual rate at a time that forecasters were figuring something closer to 8.5%. That fits into Federal Reserve Chair Jerome Powell's assessment yesterday that the economy is healing, but not to the point that his team can start taking away special pandemic stimulus. Government statisticians can now say that for all of 2020, the lockdown year, the U.S. economy contracted by 3.5%. Thirty companies are set with initial public offerings of stock this week alone, including language learning app Duolingo and Dole, as in pineapples. An odd one is Robinhood, which is set to start trading today but hasn't quite yet. The company priced its new stock at $38. That's at the low end of predictions. Robinhood is a stock trading system charging no commission, favoring people starting out with their stock picking and with those who, informed by chat online, try to show up the Wall Street titans. Let's go deeper with Eric Gordon, a professor at the University of Michigan's Ross School of Business. Morning.
Good morning, David.
Why is Robinhood, in a sense, an outlier?
The public offering itself is unusual in a couple of ways. They're setting aside a large chunk of the shares for their own customers, people who trade on Robinhood. And there are some technical things about the offering that make it very tricky. For example, in most IPOs, the insiders, the founders and the venture capitalists who have really cheap stock because they bought it a while ago, they don't get to sell for 6 months. It allows the market to stabilize. But in Robinhood, a lot of them can sell right away. They can go out the back door while new investors come in the front door.
So some democratizing, people who'd normally not get a piece of this right away are getting a piece of this, but the big dogs also get to play without a lockup period.
Yeah, so this is posited as democratization. We're going to let the individual investors in. You have to wonder, is that because they love their customers, or is that because they need their customers to buy the stock in order for the IPO to work? When somebody comes to give me something that I'm not usually getting, I always wonder why they picked me. Do I just look like a sucker?
Well, we'll see. Still, this model that Robinhood is pursuing, you think it'll spread?
I don't think the IPO technique is going to be that popular. There are no big advantages to the company. There are no real big advantages to the investors. I think it's a little bit of a gimmick.
And what's with all the IPOs here in late July, early August? I mean, before COVID, I wouldn't say launching a new stock was outré, but it didn't seem quite as in.
Yeah, we've gone through a period where going public was very much out of style. Founders were told lots of ugly stories about what it's like to be a public company, so they held off. Now, it's as if the dam has broken and we have a flood of IPOs, including from companies where it's amazing they can go public at all. It's a market in which some people are going to make money and a lot of people are going to lose money.
All right. Eric Gordon is a professor at the University of Michigan's Ross School of Business. Thank you so much.
My pleasure, David.
Facebook stock is down 3.3% in early trading here. That's after the company warned its profits could, quote, decelerate significantly in the second half of this year. Its spring profits did just double, we should say. The company said separately that with only a few exceptions, all of its U.S. employees who work in the office need to be vaccinated. Google has just announced a similar policy. In New York, I'm David Brancaccio. This is the Marketplace Morning Report. From APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.